Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Amen. Romans, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start talking this morning, and we'll probably talk about this maybe over the next few Sundays. We'll see. But I want to talk to you about faith and peace. And let's begin here. I'm going to look at probably a few scriptures this morning, but let's begin by going to Romans, the 5th chapter. And I want to read a verse or a couple of verses there, Romans chapter 5. Paul said this. He said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank God for peace with God. Hallelujah. And, you know, I remember when I first got, the night I got saved, gave my life to Jesus. That was December 20th, 1981. And I remember that one of the thoughts that I had when I got home was, I've never had this much peace in all of my life. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. That's the first three things it talks about. And those are the first three things that I noticed showed up in my life. The long-suffering and the meekness and some of that. I still need a little work on that. But I noticed I had love, joy, and peace. And peace just was one of the things that stood out to me. Because I remember coming home, sitting on my bed, and thinking, man, I've never had this much peace in my life. And because I had peace with God. But when you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God. Amen. He went on to say in verse 2, he said, by whom, talking about by Jesus, also we have access, look at this, by what? By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So you and I have access into this peace of God, into this grace of God, this grace of peace through faith. Hallelujah. You know, and it's not, see, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives unto you. You know, the world tries to give you peace through different things. You know what I'm saying? You know, we've come up with, this, you know, and I was thinking about this. Now, I'm not against medicine. Don't misunderstand me. Don't take this wrong. But I was thinking about medicines. I'm thinking about different medicines that do different things. And I'm thinking, none of them cure anything. And, you know, now there may be one or two. There may be a few that help your body, you know what I'm saying, get rid of something. But helping your body do it, you know. But I thought, none of them really fix anything. Like if you're on blood pressure medicine, it doesn't heal you.
Come on now.
Right? If you take medicine, maybe today you're here and you take medicine, insulin for sugar diabetes, it doesn't heal you, does it? It just controls the what? The symptoms, right? Because there's really only one that can heal.
Come on now.
And that's God.
Yeah, right.
I mean, all these goofy people that say God doesn't heal any longer. Well, if he doesn't, who does?
Come on now.
He doesn't, who does? He's the one that does.
Yes.
And so don't go there with me, because I got too many scriptures. I'll leave you bloodied.
Yeah.
Amen. So God, you know, and I'm not knocking medicine, because if you don't, sometimes you got to treat the symptoms till the healing takes place.
Yeah.
You'll die.
Yeah.
You know, amen. And so, but I'm just saying, it doesn't have the power to heal, but God has the power to heal. And the world offers peace, you know. I like, as I've said this before, but you know, the world offers peace through life insurance. Now, I have life insurance, but guess what? If I ever need it, I'm not going to be around to spend it. My wife is going to be the beneficiary of that, and I'm happy about that. I'd like to know if I go to heaven, she can live out her life comfortably.
Amen.
I'm happy about that. All right? So, But, you know, and then, you know, there used to be a commercial on for Michelin tires on TV. You know, had the little baby in the tires and talking about peace of mind because you got Michelin on your cars. It doesn't stop the truck driver from crossing the road. He doesn't say, I can't hit them. They got Michelins on. How many know only God's power can help you there? Right? Only the peace that Jesus gives can help you there, see? And so, you know, so, and then the one I saw and is when I read the paper so occasionally. When I don't know if anybody reads papers now. I don't know. You know, it's all digital online. But our local paper had this ad in there, a piece through a prepaid burial plan. No. All right. You telling me I'm supposed to have peace because I got a hoe out there, Travis, waiting on me? Now, I've got one waiting on me. I got six of them waiting on me. Anybody want to join me? No, they're out there. There's a lake. I got a lake view, a fountain, a tree. It's nice. But if I'm going to enjoy it, I better go out there now and take my lawn chair. Because once, see, it doesn't give me any peace to know there's a hoe waiting on me. What gives me peace is to know is if I do go in the hoe, I'm coming out. Amen. It's called the resurrection. See, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. The world's peace is a false peace. They can't solve any of our problems. They can't keep any bad things from happening to you. Only God can. Well, yeah, but I've got my retirement account. I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to cash in. I'm going to live comfortably. I'm going to sit on the porch, man, and watch the deer go by. Let me just tell you something. All that could be gone tomorrow. I had a guy in my office one time, bless his heart, had invested all his retirement account. Well, he invested all his retirement account in one particular thing, and his wife was nervous about it, so they come to see me. And, you know, I just said, you know, I wouldn't do that. And he said, well, the Lord told me to do that. Well, what are you going to say? Well, the Lord missed it. What are you going to do? Right? As a pastor, when somebody says, the Lord told me, what am I supposed to say? Well, if it's real goofy, I'll tell you the Lord didn't tell you that, you goofy thing. But anyway, I just, all right, whatever. And he lost all of his retirement account, you know. See, you should have that, but you better put your faith in God. If you're going to have peace, I want to know, if this whole world, man, tanks, if everything tanks, have you ever watched those accounts? They jump around by thousands of dollars all the time. But here's the thing. God never changes. His word never changes. His promises never change. He still said, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory, not according to your retirement account. I'm not saying you should have one, but I'm just simply saying don't put your faith in that. That's just an avenue. Yep. That's an avenue. God could use that and bless you with that, you know. But if it goes away, guess what? I still got God. Yep. Hallelujah. And so the peace that we get when we get born again, we get peace with God, but it gives us the peace of God. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 15. I want to read that scripture, Romans 15. So, you know, when I got saved, I thank God for the peace that came into my life. I didn't have that, and I got something, praise the Lord. You know, when you get saved, you get something. Right? You know what I mean? You know, there's people I talk to sometimes. I've kind of been working some on a guy. It, you know, I think he thinks he's saved, but I'm not sure he is. You know, a lot of people think because they go to church, they're saved. It's like somebody said, that's like thinking you're a car because you're sitting in the garage. You know, garages are for cars, right? Okay. You know, no, they're not. They're for all of my junk. But you know what I'm saying? And I think he's kind of, I don't know, I'm not his final judge, but I've just talked to him now. This is the way you're saved. Romans 10 tells you this, you know. You're not saved because you're going to, because you went to a church in the past or you're going to a church now. You're saved because you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Right? And you stay in that place of salvation because of your faith. We used to have this argument about once saved, always saved. And we got people in the church tell you can't, once you get in, you can't ever get out. Hey, you can leave anytime you want to. The apostle, there's too many warnings in the Bible that says if you continue in the faith. You know. Now that doesn't mean if you sin, you're not saved any longer. It just means you just messed up. Right? Let's just be, you know, because people went weird on that. Oh man, if you cussed and died, you'd go to hell. Well, no, it's not that fragile. Your faith, it's your faith, it's your heart. With the heart, man believes. But, you know, people keep sinning and then their heart changes. Sin hardens your heart. And what happens? What happens? You turn from the God you were serving. A guy told me one time in his church, he said, I don't believe in backsliding. I said, well, then don't ever do it. Because it's in the Bible. He said, well, it's in the Old Testament. Well, the Bible talks about falling away in the New Testament. So we can do that in the, but, all right, praise the Lord. How many got some peace off of that? Praise the Lord. All right, now. So when I got saved, the first thing that came to me was that night, I noticed the peace. I mean, I haven't had this peace, you know. I mean, when you live like, and I just won't name any people, there's other people in this church that live the same way, but I won't name their names, Randy. Susie. We ran around together. It's good that brothers are that close that they can be friends too. Right? We've always had that kind of relationship. But when you live that way, you were always in fear of being arrested. Isn't that true? And it happens sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. There were times. Things happen. But once you're at peace with God, it just then you have access to the peace of God.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. But you access that peace of God, you know, the peace with God, you get it by faith, but you also access the peace of God by faith, by choosing to believe that God is going to work things out for you. Amen. Because having a relationship with God, having the peace of God, it doesn't guarantee you a life without problems. Right? I mean, Apostle Paul, look at his life. Amen. You know, he had the thorn in the flesh with people want to make things out of that. Say, God gave him that thorn in the flesh. No. The Bible says a messenger of Satan did it. Wasn't God, but it came and you know and people say well it was he had this sickness. No. If you read what he says he talks about the persecutions, the attacks that he endured. You know, it seemed like everywhere Paul went, people got stirred up against him. Right? And I was reading that the other day, Pastor Chuck, and I think you know how it says a thorn in the flesh was given to me lest I should be exalted above measure. And I thought. You know, we used to read that like Paul would get into pride, but that isn't what he's saying. He was saying, if you read the whole context, he's saying, lest people exalt me higher than what I really am supposed to be. That's what he's talking about. And so everywhere he go, they weren't exalting him. They were trying to kill him. And Paul said, Lord, get rid of this. Three times he besought the Lord to get rid of this persecution in his life. And the Lord said, hey, man, I've given you grace. My grace is sufficient to carry you through any of this. God's not necessarily going to remove persecution from you, but he gives you grace to be strong in the midst of it and to live a peaceful life. Amen. Now, here in Romans 15, go there, Romans 15, look at verse 13. Paul said this. He said, now the God of hope fill you. You know, God's always in the filling you, right? with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So there's joy and peace when we believe. When we believe. When you choose to stay in faith about things, it causes joy and peace in your life. You know, you can approach things that come your way two ways, either in faith or in fear. It's up to you. You can fear things aren't going to work out, or you can be in faith that it's going to work out. And I'm not talking about, now listen to me now, hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about having a positive attitude alone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. That you can speak to mountains and they'll depart. Have faith in God. That God will back you when you have faith. He'll do something for you when you have faith. Without faith, right? Come on. Without faith, the only time the Bible uses the word impossible is when you don't have faith. All things are possible to him that believes. With man, Jesus said, this is impossible, but not with God. For with God, a couple things are possible. All things are possible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Isn't that something that when the Bible uses the word impossible, it's always connected, almost always, except for the one place it says it's impossible for God to lie. It's connected with not having faith. When you don't have faith, it's impossible. But when you have faith, all things are possible. That ought to give us peace.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So it isn't positive thinking, it's faith in God. Well, how do I get faith in God, Pastor? Well, faith comes by what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. So you go find out what God said about it. How are you going to have faith in what I say? You have to find out what I said. See, this is like I said one time. I said, you know, if I said this morning, I'm going to give somebody this morning $1,000. Some of you would wake up. But really, there's no reason to get excited yet. Because I said somebody, you may be a somebody, and you might not be a somebody. See what I'm saying? Right? Somebody means it's just somebody. That's just one person. So not everybody's going to get $1,000. Now, if I came in and say, I'm going to give everybody $1,000, how many know now you can shout? Because you got a concrete promise. See, that's why Paul said all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. They're concrete. What about this doctrine? We never know what God's going to do. Because you don't know his word. We may not know how he's going to do it. He'll do it honestly. We may not know how he's going to do it, but we can know what he's going to do because what he said he was going to do. Amen. You know, he said, I will meet your needs according to my riches in glory. Right? So if we have faith in that, how many know we know what he's going to do? We may not know how he's going to do it. It's like, one of our guest speakers, I don't remember which one it was, said somebody was praying for prosperity and they got job offers. I said, God, I want prosperity. He's trying to help you. Amen. I still love what Pastor Ingolf said when he was here. You know, when the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. He said, I think the more you work, the more you should get to eat. All right. I must be working a lot. Praise the Lord. All right. Listen to this. There's joy and peace in believing. Now, here's the thing about this. Faith, listen now, there's joy and peace in what? In believing, in faith. So faith, now listen, here's this is important because you got to get this. Faith changes you first on the inside. If you have faith, it changes you on the inside first. It gives you joy and peace. It doesn't change you on the outside first. It will change the outside. But it first changes the inside. Then it changes the outside. I've seen that happen when people get saved. You know, they got something on the inside, but they still look the same on the outside. You know what I mean? And they still may have some of the same environment, you know, and all that and everything like that. But it begins to change the outside, see. Amen. This is a true story. I've told you this story before, but it's the truth. That's the kind of stories you should tell. How many know that? You know, I had to get my, before Christ, I had to get my license renewed, you know. And they had just started a little bit before I had to get my license renewed. They started putting your picture on your license. Years ago, they didn't put your picture on your license, you know. And then somebody got the bright idea that, you know, maybe we should put the picture on there so we can really prove that's who this is. You know, it was all you had on there was your name and address. And so these licenses I had the picture on there, and I had the picture taken before Christ, before I was saved. And I remember, you know, I still remember this for some reason. I remember going to the license branch on a Saturday. It closed by noon. It closed at noon. And if you live the lifestyle I lived, noon was early. I mean, we didn't get home before 5, 6 in the morning. So I had to get up kind of early to go get my license renewed, you know. So I go in there and I got this long hair. I've been partying. I look like an animal. And I get my picture taken. And you know what? License never do you justice, do they? I think that's a government conspiracy. They give you a really bad picture, you know. It's not like you're going to put that one on Facebook. And so I get that picture taken, and so, after a little bit after that, I get saved. And 4 years go by, and I got to get my license renewed, so I go back to the same license branch, Petersburg, Indiana, and I go there to get my license renewed, and the lady said, I'll have to have your old license. Well, I wanted to keep them for a souvenir. This is me then, this is me now. And so she said, no, I have to have them. And I said, well, okay, I gave them to her. She looked at that license. I'm not making this up. She looked at that license. She looked at me. She goes, that's not you.
Oh, wow.
I said, yes, it is. She said, no, it's not. I said, ma'am, that's me. She goes, what happened to you? Come on, I'm not making this up. She asked me, what happened to you? I said to her, these are exact words. I said, that's what happens when the life of God comes inside of you.
Amen.
That's what I told her. That ended our conversation. She's like. Anyway, what happened? Well, faith came in the inside of me when I got born again. Peace came inside of me. The life of God came inside of me. Faith began to work. But after a while, it started changing my outsides. Changed the way I thought, the way I lived. Amen. Faith does the same thing. When you're believing God for something, it doesn't necessarily change your outside right away. It changes you. And then it begins to change the outside. Things begin to turn around for you when you're in faith about things. Oh, my Lord. Thank God for faith. I didn't. I've often thought, I wish if I'd have known, I'd have just left my home and told her I left my home. But anyway, but I wouldn't have got that cool experience of telling her about the life of God. But either way. Anyway. All right, now, let's go to one more scripture. Did you get anything this morning?
Amen.
I'm not saying I'm quitting yet. No, let's go to two more scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews. I want to look at a couple more things. Hebrews chapter 3. So faith, everybody say faith and peace. See, when you're in faith about things, there's peace in your life, see? That's how you can tell if you're in faith about something. Do I have peace? You know, I have peace because of faith, and I hope you do too. I have peace about my eternal security. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm not concerned about that. Because I know what the Word says. I'm not arrogant about it. I'm not being arrogant saying, you know, I did anything. No, I've received the free gift of salvation by faith. Amen. So because there's really faith in my heart in Jesus, then I have peace. I'm not concerned. I'm not like, well, you know, we'll see when I die what happens. And I wouldn't play it that way. I'd find out before I die what's going to happen to me. Amen. It's a little late then. So I have peace. So look at this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18. We're going to read through chapter 4 too. Hebrews 3, 18. To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Talking about Israel when they came out of Egypt. But to them that believed not. Some places say obey not, but it's an unbelief, disobedience, unbelief. Verse 19, he says, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter into the rest that God had for them. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Notice this, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith, pretty important, isn't it?
Yes.
For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. How many know everything's already finished? God's already provided it now through Calvary. It's finished. But you have to have faith in that. Verse 4, for he spake a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. Talking about the Sabbath. How many know Jesus is our Sabbath today? Right? He's our Sabbath rest. You mean we don't keep a day? Well, no, you can. You don't have to. And I know that shocks some people, but Paul's the one that said it. He said, you know, that no man judge you in new moons or feast days or Sabbaths, which are nothing but a shadow, but Christ is the substance. He's the reality of that, see. You know what I'm saying? So our lives should be like a Sabbath day, a rest. I'm talking about in the spirit. Amen? You know, if you want to keep a day, you can do that. God doesn't mind. Paul said, if you keep a day, you keep a day. If you don't, you don't keep a day. It's up to you, right? I remember, because, you know, people get hung up on the Sabbath, and those that get hung up on the Sabbath don't keep the Sabbath and don't know they're not keeping the Sabbath. I remember when I was a kid, Randy will remember this, we used to go to Grandma's every Sunday for lunch. All the family, all the cousins and the aunts, the uncles, we all descend on Grandma's house, you know, for some good old fried chicken, praise the Lord. Some bouillon cube gravy.
Yeah.
Amen. And biscuits and things. And yeah, poor Grandma. But some of the ladies would help Grandma some. But Grandma did a lot of it. But we'd all descend on. I mean, I don't know, man. There's a bunch of us. We would descend. And I can remember that I'd have some uncles that would work on Sunday. And you'd hear the other aunts and uncles talk about them. Oh, they're working on the Sabbath. And once I learned about the Old Testament Sabbath, I thought, well, every one of you people are breaking the Sabbath by being here at Grandma's.
Right, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
You couldn't drive. You couldn't go over 2/3 of a mile on the Sabbath. You couldn't light fires on the Sabbath. You couldn't gather together on the Sabbath. So you're judging them for working on the Sabbath. You broke it by coming here to feed your face. It wasn't Sunday anyway. Sabbath was. It was from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, the real Sabbath. But anyway, but our Sabbath today, and you can keep a day, it's okay. But our Sabbath, and I think you should take a day of rest. But I think it's just God's just smart. You need your body needs it. But here's the thing. That's not our rest today. Jesus is our Sabbath. Faith in him, faith in his redemption, faith in what he did, faith that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Our redemption was from the foundation of the world. That's where we get our rest, knowing that it's already covered. It's prepaid. It's prepaid. I don't know anything. It's paid for. This year, I had somebody treating my yard. Well, I like to treat my yard myself because I put down more. But, you know, I'm going to let somebody do it this year. I think I did last year, too. But they have this prepaid. You know, you prepay. Yeah, you prepay. You get 5% off. Right. Yeah. Don't go to Starbucks or you'll lose that 5%. Anyway, so I'm prepaid. So every time they come, they stick that little thing on my, I'm on my door, little, you know, what they did and all that. And it says, oh, zero. It's already prepaid. Hey, our redemption's prepaid. Now, see, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to put the bill on the counter. Make sure you get that, hon. Make sure you pay that. No, it's already done. I'm at rest. Praise the Lord. And I can know that when troubles face me in life, I can enter into His rest. That's my Sabbath day. Amen. Go to Mark 4. Did you get anything today? I'm not going to spend any more time there. We don't have time. But go to Mark chapter 4. Go there. And I want to just read a few verses here. Just talking about faith and rest. How faith, when you trust God, when you believe God, it brings a rest into your life. See, that's what casting your care over on Him is. You got to give it to Him, right, Matt? If you still have it, He doesn't have it. You know, people say, well, you know, people sometimes pray for me about this and you pray for them about that, and we agree the Lord's going to do something about it. Then the next word is, I don't know what I'm going to do. I thought we just did something. See, you didn't really cast it on Him. How many know if you cast it on Him, it's not yours any longer? If I give Pastor Chuck my truck keys, I don't have them. He's got them. You want my keys, you have to ask Him for them. I don't have them. Amen. If I cast my care on the Lord, I don't have it any longer. There's no need to talk to me about it. Oh, that's strong faith, isn't it? Well, that's what the Bible says. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Now, look at this in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, the same day when evening was come, He, that being Jesus, said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, how many know if He said we're going to the other side, how many know where you're going? You're going to the other side. You're not going to go out in the middle and sink. Right? The morning news is, the Jerusalem news is not going to say, Son of God drowns in boating accident. Going to the cross, but didn't make it. He drowned. I mean, that's not going to happen, right? He said we're going to the other side. Guess where they're going? The other side. See, what you got to do is base your life on what He has already said. And it'll get you to the other side. See? Well, look what happens. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship. And there were also other little ships. And there arose, verse 37, a great storm of wind. Now, the Greek says a mega storm. You know what mega is? You know what I mean? Big, right? Supersize. You know, wasn't that McDonald's used to supersize you? Now, we got a lot of supersized people walking around. I've had too many of them supersized meals myself. I've been trying to cut back. And I told the guys yesterday we were out to eat for lunch. I said, man, I feel like the town dog everybody's been feeding. Man, we've got to do something here. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, mega storm, and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So how many know there is something going on, right?
Yeah.
But He is in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake Him and say to Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Isn't that something? That there's this storm going on and He's asleep. How do you sleep through a storm unless you're full of peace? They had to wake Him up and say, hey, man, we're dying. Yeah, get up and watch us sink. You know, I see this. See, the storm is in the disciples, but it's not in Jesus. There's a storm going on. You can't deny a storm's going on. But just because a storm is going on doesn't mean it has to get inside of you. You keep it on the outside. You know, before we moved down to this area, we had a house out in the country, up on the hill. Somebody told me it was the second highest spot in the county. So we set up high. I don't know if it was or not, but that's what somebody told us. Probably the person tried to sell us house. No, I'm teasing. But anyway, we'd set up there, and we had a back porch, you know. And we weren't real far from Patoka Lake, you know. Yeah, it was nice. We had 40 trees. And, hey, you know, I counted them. And so we had 40 trees, and we sat up there on this hill, and we'd sat on that back, and the back porch had a porch swing. We'd sat there, and you could see the storms coming in, you know what I'm saying? And you could tell it was storming, was coming our way, because you'd see all these boats start going by. Because we set up, we weren't on the highway, we were off the highway, but you could see the highway from our back porch. And they're leaving Patoka Lake because of the storming, you know. And so it'd be just neat to sit there on that back porch and watch the storms come in. But see, we didn't get out in the storm. We watched the storm. I liked storm. I saw one time, storm came in. And it brought like 5 inches of rain. It was quite a spectacle. But I'm not out there in it. See, the disciples are in the storm, and the storm's inside of them, but it's not in Jesus. You can go through storms, but they don't have to go through you if you're in faith. And verse 39 says, he arose, he rebuked the wind, he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a mega calm. There was a mega storm. But how about, you can't release what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. So peace was inside of him. That's why he's sleeping during the storm. Amen. And he said unto them, notice what he said unto them. Boy, appreciate, so glad you guys woke me up. Gosh, thanks for waking me up. I mean, he didn't say that, did he? He said, why are you so fearful? Now, listen now. Now, I know this is strong, but there is a storm going on, right? The boat is filling up with water. But even though this is going on, he did not expect them to be in fear. Why? Because why? Why? Because he said, let us cross over to the other side. He expected those words to put them at rest. You know, he expects the same thing today. His word to put us at peace, at rest. Amen. So when bad news comes, if we got good news from him, we don't have to be fearful. Amen. Why are you so fearful? Now notice this. How is it that you have no faith? Isn't that something? See, I've heard people say, faith is just for getting saved. No, he said they should have used their faith on a storm.
That's right.
Amen. And verse, now he asked them, why are you so fearful? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. And said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? How many know he's still that same manner of man? The wind and the sea still obey him. Amen? Right? And when we're in faith, he's working on our behalf. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to close with this, but I want to, in 1 John, we all know the scripture says this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How many know that scripture? All right. I want you to listen to this. This is another translation. I love it. It's 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. You know, they got their ways and they're messed up, but we conquer them. The conquering, this is good. Listen, this is what I really want you to get. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees, it's our faith. Our faith brings the world to its knees. If you don't get this, the world will walk all over you. But it doesn't have to. Listen, the person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Do I have any people here this morning that believe Jesus is the Son of God? Well, if you do, you have world overcoming faith.
Amen.
You just got to put it to use.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. God's already given you the victory over the world, over its ways, and over its bad news. Amen. So faith and peace, they go together. You got faith, you're going to have peace. You don't have peace, you know? Check your faith level. See what's going on. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Now you may be here this morning and you may say, Pastor, there's something attacking my peace. Well, that happens in life. You know what I'm saying? We're not preaching some utopia like, oh, man, we get all this faith thing like Pastor was talking about. That's the end of my problems. No, you know, if that's the case, Paul never had an ounce of faith. Right? What I'm telling you is you can have peace in the midst of the storm. I'm not telling you can't. I'm not saying you're going to stop the storms. Oh, yeah, you can. Eventually, faith will stop the storm. It will. But it fixes you on the inside first. Storms come different ways. How many know that? How many know sometimes we cause our own storms? Anybody ever read about Jonah? Right? Sometimes people cause storms in our lives, right? Paul on that boat, you know, he told them, let's don't go. And they said, oh, we're going. He said, I don't got a good feeling about this. They went anyway and they got in a storm. He said, I tried to warn you. But God showed me he's going to save everybody. Amen. I mean, just living in life, you're going to have storms. Amen. I mean, disobedience. Jonah got there. Right? So, but thank God through them all, however they come, you can repent and get out of it. Or you can believe God and get out of it. There's ways to get out. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.